Ali C today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is the final hour of the Paracast, and after listening to these two carry on, it may be the final hour forever. We never know. Nick Redfern is our guest, displaying unheard-of talents, or non-existent talents, depending on your point of view of how well he does.
Probably non-existent talents is better, actually.
You like that. Okay, I'll go along with the non-existent talent. Chris O'Brien displaying his non-existent talent. I'm Gene Steinberg with my non-existent talent. You're in the Paracast. Now, as you've been talking for the last couple of hours in the show, Nick, I thought of the show you and I did together the previous week with the author of Mirage Men, where in that case, the actors or offenders are government agents playing this kind of game. You know, abductions, all this other stuff. It's being done by some government authority for whatever secret purpose they have. So do you find any way to separate the two, the Mirage Men from the people behind Final Events?
Well, you know, I mean, I'll be the first to admit this is a difficult area because, you know, a lot of people, as I mentioned, within ufology are belief-driven, and they don't want to believe that they've been deceived. Now, my view is that there's a genuine UFO phenomenon, but I don't know what it is. And so when I hear a story like this, you know, this is why I related the story as it was told to me, because I truthfully cannot say, and it would be reckless and egotistical of me to say that, oh, you know, I wasn't lied to, I wasn't deceived, and this is a complete lie, or it's a half-truth, or it's an attempt to steer people away from the ET angle. You know, I don't know, but what I would say is that I think we have to be careful and realize that, you know, we shouldn't treat ufology as a religion, ironically, given the subject matter. But what we should do is be open-minded. And that's what I've tried to be with this story. Not avoiding the issue. I don't think I was lied to, but can I deny the possibility that there's a bigger picture behind the scenes as to why these people may have spoken to Ray 20 years ago and then what seems to be elements of the same people speaking to me 20 years on after Ray? Could there be another agenda along the lines of Mark Pilkington's Mirage Men? Yes, there could. I didn't see evidence of it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Equally, it may mean it doesn't exist. You know, we could argue that the whole Mirage Men angle of instilling people with the idea that UFOs exist actually works as a legitimate cover to hide what some might believe is the real demonic angle. You know, it could work either of two ways. Or maybe there's another answer, and this is just a case of people swamping and pummeling us with different scenarios to keep us away from a scenario that we haven't even considered yet, which might be the real one. You know, I'm not someone who's trying to, in other words, force feed this theory down people's throats. I'm presenting it because I think it's an interesting piece of ufological history as it relates to government's interest and involvement in the subject.
And certainly one that hasn't really been mentioned very much. But just about all the theories of UFOs and religions talk about an end times, whether it's 2012 or whatever. We reach the point in our civilization where there have to be drastic changes. And it sounds like this particular organization is leveraging that for their own purposes.
Yeah, that's where I have a problem with a lot of religions. I don't care what people believe. You know, I don't care if people believe in the Christian Bible, if they're Hindus, Muslims, whatever. I just don't care. What I do care about is when belief systems are then used and manipulated to control, whether through fear and guilt, which are two of the main tools of religion, through fear and guilt, to alter the mindset or control people and worry them and upset them because, you know, they're trying to, I guess, mold them and manipulate them. It's almost like a cult-like basis. And, you know, people may say that, well, that's an insult, but I don't think it is. If you're open-minded on religion and you want to find out about it, fine. But if you go to church and you're told, you know, that if you do this or you do that, you're going to burn in hell, that is controlling you through fear. Now, whether the person believes it earnestly or not, partly is irrelevant. You know, you're controlling someone through fear. It's no different than, you know, to me at least, the terrible sort of scandal of using the 9/11 tragedy, a real terrible tragedy, and using that, manipulating it to control people through fear, which is, there's no doubt the people in the Bush administration did that. You know, it was a terrible event. But what's even worse is exploiting the deaths of all those people as a means to scare the population into, you know, passing the Patriot Act, and this has got to be done for our own safety, etc. Yes, you know, you need protection, but when you start exploiting things, and that's what religion does. Religion, unfortunately, for the most part, never stays at just teaching a way of life. It becomes a control factor, and I think that's what's going on with this group.
It sounds like they're just trying to control people for this orientation. Let's watch out for those UFOs because they're all demonic. They're here to do us harm rather than help us. Whereas you can say the same thing about the people who say UFOs are benevolent. They're here for good purposes to help protect us from our stupidity, and we should listen to them. Again, it's a controlling mechanism. It doesn't matter what you say, what you believe. It's a controlling mechanism designed to deceive us. And you might as well say this organization could be government disinformation as well.
Yeah, it could be. And I mean, you know, the frustrating thing I understand for the listeners may be the fact that I cannot come to a firm conclusion. You know, there are people who tell you aliens crashed at Roswell and this is why. But at the end of the day, it still has to be a belief system based upon a study of the evidence. But, you know, I feel a responsibility to only say what I can say for certain when I know something for certain. All I know for sure is this group existed and came to this conclusion. Whether or not the group was right, that's a very different matter. And I know it's certainly not right to try and alter the mindset of whole swathes of the population through fear, control, and guilt to get them come to their viewpoint when there's actually no hard evidence that we know, at least, that viewpoint extends beyond a belief system.
So how in the end do you even find out what the real answer is? What's the cause behind UFOs and other paranormal events, or even if they're related, if you have all this nonsense lurking forth?
Well, I think that's the difficult thing. That's why we don't have the answer, because the phenomenon doesn't behave in the ways that we might expect or want it to. It doesn't try, you know, we don't have huge UFOs coming over LA or, you know, Chicago or whatever and blasting skyscrapers off the ground. But equally, we don't have President Obama leaving the White House and shaking hands with an ET on the front lawn. None of that has ever happened. In other words, and you see this throughout history with all these archetypal things, whether it's djinns, goblins, whatever, they're always hiding from society, but they interact with us. And they seem to have like a need to interact with us. It's almost like they need us as much as we need them, but we don't understand why. Maybe we're just not seeing the bigger picture. Now, the bigger picture, as far as the Collins elite was concerned, or probably is concerned, is probably one of the most disturbing aspects of the book. They have an answer as to, or a reason, or a theory, if you like, however you want to term it, as to why, you know, we've never had that definitive landing on the White House lawn, but equally, they've never tried to destroy us. Their conclusion is that the Earth itself is essentially a farm, and that the human race are cattle. And they believe that the human race are the only living creatures on the planet that have souls. They also believe that these entities, these demonic entities, don't want us to destroy ourselves. They actually want us to keep populating and creating more and more of us, because they believe that upon our death, the group, I mean, not the demon, the group believes that upon our deaths, what happens is that these entities essentially harvest human souls for an admittedly poorly understood life source or energy source that these entities feed upon. So in other words, the Earth is a farm, we're the cattle, but we don't see the bigger picture until we die. And when we die, that's when, I guess, we go to the slaughterhouse and they take our souls. And it's along the lines of, although I don't mention this in the book, but the best way I can describe it, for people who've seen the Matrix movie, where, you know, everybody's living in this kind of like virtual reality world, not realizing that there's this other realm of existence where there's these endless, you know, bodies just in storage being used as an energy source.
As batteries, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to get into that in a moment. We'll have to explore the Matrix factor. Nick Redfern joining us, the author of the book called Final Events. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey neighbors, ever thought about creating a website? With HostGator, you can create your own website with your very own .com domain name. HostGator has a free site builder and thousands of design templates to create your website today. Whether you want to create a blog, a photo gallery, a family page, or a website for your business, HostGator has the right plan for you, starting at less than $5 a month for ultra-reliable website hosting with 99.9% uptime and true 24/7 live support available by phone, chat, or email, and based right here in the U.S. Don't be left without a website. It's more affordable and easier than you think. Sign up at technightowl.com/gator, that's G-A-T-O-R, to get the lowest possible price. At HostGator, that's technightowl.com/gator to get a special deal on all their web hosting services.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network. Yes, yes.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We're talking to Nick Redfern, who's also one of our co-hosts and a very prolific author of All Things Paranormal. The book is called Final Events and the Secret Government Group on Demonic UFOs and the Afterlife. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
Nick, before we get too far ahead of ourselves in terms of really getting into why you named this book Final Events, why don't you give our listeners a little bit of some background on Operation Often and Sidney Gottlieb and the Army Chemical Corps and Richard Helms and some of the interesting projects that somehow were dovetailed into the so-called Collins elites, I guess, views of, the agenda of these demonic entities.
Yeah, I mean, this is the important thing, is that although the existence of the Collins elite hasn't been officially confirmed, there's absolutely no doubt that elements of the official world, particularly in the intelligence community, have delved very, very deeply into the realm of the occult. Now, we know this through one verifiable project that became known as Operation Often, which began in the late 1960s and existed at least through the early 1970s. And a number of people I interviewed for the book told me quite openly that there had been liaison between Operation Often and the Collins elite. But essentially what happened was that Sidney Gottlieb, who was a sort of an early player in things like the CIA's MKUltra project in the 1950s, you know, looking at controlling and manipulating the human mind on behalf of the CIA. This man, Sidney Gottlieb, basically somebody, he had a PhD in chemistry from the California Institute of Technology, Caltech, and a master's degree in speech therapy. And in 1951, he was offered the position as head of the chemical division of the CIA's technical services staff. This focused on two areas, one, the development of lethal poison, the other, manipulating and harnessing the human brain, you know, in what, in simple terms, you would call mind control. And it became known as the Black Sorcerer. What happened was that post-MKUltra, Gottlieb got involved with this project called Operation Often. This was really a study of the occult, not just to determine what the truth was behind the occult, but, you know, inevitably being the CIA, it was to determine if there were any sort of espionage offshoots that could be developed from the occult. You know, they were thinking along similar lines to the whole thing with remote viewing. You know, the idea of using, for example, Ouija board. You know, can we, literally, they were thinking, can we contact dead CIA agents and use their souls to spy on filing cabinets in the Kremlin? I mean, that was literally one of the areas that was discussed.
Yeah, these are your tax dollars, folks.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you imagine guys in the CIA, you know, to be almost like James Bond types, or analysts who are behind a desk all day just thumbing through intelligence reports. You don't imagine them sitting around a table with candles at midnight trying to contact John Smith, the CIA agent for in analyst in Russia or in Moscow, who died of a heart attack suddenly 6 weeks ago. And they're trying to contact him to say, dispatch your soul to the Kremlin and tell us what you see. And then, you know, feed the results back through by spelling it out on the Ouija board. That is quite literally what Operation Often did. And they consulted palmists, clairvoyants, demonologists, mediums, all with a view to try and extend the ability of the USS overseas espionage programs. So in other words, you know, they were deeply involved in occult issues. And the story I got was that not on many occasions, maybe two or three, there were sort of crossovers between the whole issue of demonology as it related to Operation Often and demonology and UFOs as it related to the Collins elite, and the two shared data, etc., and possibly had some sort of interagency liaison for a very short period of time. But again, Operation Off, it was kind of like the Collins elite in the sense that, you know, it wasn't an agency with its own building. It was people inside the CIA that were contracted to work on it and who had some interest in these areas and were asked to prepare reports and results, etc.
Why don't you talk about a very crucial event that occurred in the early 70s where quite a famous and renowned and publicly visible witch, Sybil Lee, did a channeling that came up with some pretty interesting information that evidently really affected the thinking of the Collins elite.
Yeah, this revolves around a woman named Sybil Leake. Now, Sybil Lee essentially was a witch, a sorceress, astrologer, psychic, and she actually wrote more than 60 books, originally from England and then moved to the US, and she was even dubbed by the BBC as Britain's most famous witch. That's literally a direct, accurate quote. And
wow.
What's interesting is that she was also acquainted with none other than Aleister Crowley, who would actually visit the Federalique family. And Crowley, well, a lot of people don't know, wrote his own poetry. And when Sybil Lee was a little girl, Crowley would come visit him and read his poetry to her, which is kind of a bummer.
What a babysitter.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of pretty unique scenario of, you know, the babysitter comes over and, oh, it's Aleister Crowley, he's going to read some of his poems to you. You know, it's sort of a bizarre scenario, but that is what happened. And again, this was something that the Crowley link made the group want to approach Sybil Leek. Now, Sybil Leek, as I said, was someone who was deeply involved in witchcraft and, I guess, like the traditions of centuries past, the Middle Ages, you know, and folklore mythology, very much steeped in this whole scenario, like the ancient witches of times past, things like that. You know, they wanted to get her views on the whole angle of demonology related to UFOs. Now, it is a verifiable fact that Sybil Leek was approached by people from the CIA's Operation Often. That can be proven. That is borne out by the Freedom of Information Act. What isn't borne out is whether or not she was approached by the Collins elite. But the fact that she was approached by one group in government investigating the occult actually makes it more likely that, you know, this other aspect of the story is true. But the story was that she was basically, you know, asked questions about her views on the occult, what was going on in the US in terms of the occult world, you know, to what extent was it growing, you know, was there a burgeoning interest in witchcraft and things like this and paranormal issues. And according to the group, and again, this is one aspect that obviously isn't verified, otherwise we'd know about it, that reportedly at some point in 72, it was in September, she went into literally like a trance-like state. And during this trance-like state, reportedly channeled some sort of demonic entity that called itself Caxulicom, which essentially spouted the same story that the Collins elite was rapidly coming to, the idea that the Earth was a farm and that we were being farmed for, like, the human life force. And when questions were asked, why, if this entity was one of these very entities, why would it reveal the secret? You know, why would it blow the lid on what these entities are actually up to? And the conclusion was that it was sort of like a hatred of the human race and ego that had made it overstep the mark. But there's no doubt that, according to the group at least, that it was this revelation, this sort of farm-based revelation, reaping of souls, that really was the tipping point when they went from just realizing that these things were meddling with us, that they could actually have been, ever since the human race has existed, just farming us, and we just don't see the bigger picture. We just think, you know, when we die, if you're an atheist, you know, you believe you just die. If you're a Christian, you believe you go to heaven or hell or, you know, whatever the teachings of other religions are. But nobody realized that we're essentially like a factory.
Our guest is Nick Redfern. The book is Final Events. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Mm-hmm. to ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees. And every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, tow line, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Yes, we now have the insane laughter of Nick Redfern to regale us for the rest of our lives as he takes over our consciousness.
Nick, you frightened me, dude.
Your final event is my laughter.
This is Nick's final event. The book is called Final Events. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. Two more segments with Nick. Now, Chris, you were focusing on some really significant areas about this theory, so why don't you take over there?
Well, it just, both Gene and Nick, this is really fascinating to me that in September 1972, a project called Operation Often should hire England's most famous witch to do a channeling session. She channels a disincarnate entity, and this has such an amazing amount of impact on their thinking, in that this is almost like the period at the end of the sentence here. I think basically, going through your book, this was a real departure point in terms of them discounting any other scenarios. This is where they really decided that, hey, we are dealing with demonic entities that are here. And then eventually they developed the whole concept, or solidified the whole concept of the harvesting of souls And what are your feelings about this? I mean, does this make sense to you? Do you see a progression of events that would somehow legitimize this decision on their part? What's your thinking on this?
Well, my view is that, you know, unfortunately, I'll be the first to admit that given the fact that this group, if the story is true, has existed for at least 60 years, I would imagine there has been a large membership. You know, it could be, I don't know, I mean, I'd admittedly speculate, you know, it could be 20, it could have been 100 over the course of 60 years. And with outside consultants, which seems to have been done with people like Sybil Leake, you know, we could be talking hundreds of people who've had some sort of input. Now, I interviewed about 11 people, only about 7 from the group who were willing to be quoted. So in other words, what I mean is, the point I'm coming to is, I don't know to what extent they have additional data that allowed them to so clearly and concisely come to one particular viewpoint. But my view is that I do agree with them on several points. I do agree that the phenomenon, if you like, is trickster-based, that it kind of tantalizes us and leaves us dangling on a string, so to speak. It manipulates us. It seems to change us. Society changes, and as our technology changes, it's always just one step ahead. You know, when we were developing air balloons and balloons in the 19th century, people saw phantom airships. Then it was Foo Fighters, then ghost rockets, then flying saucers, then flying triangles. You know, we had the contactees, then we had, you know, the greys. It's like the phenomenon's forever changing, and that's where I agree with them as well. Where I disagree with them is, unless somebody has hard definitive evidence that we don't know about, categorizing it as definitively this and not allowing for any other possibilities is just losing the plot. You know, it's losing track of keeping an open mind, but not a really open mind to where it's full of nothing but belief systems.
Well, it sounds disingenuous to put all your chips on one card, so to speak. Well, Nick.
But unfortunately, religion does that often. People just won't accept the idea that anything. Yeah, I mean, you see people in government today. I mean, look at people, you know, certain people who've run for government. You ask them what they think about the Bible. They interpret it literally, and there is no place for argument. There are people in the whole teabagging thing now who think the earth was created 6,000 years ago, which is the most absurd nonsense I've ever heard. But they believe that with absolute, utter reality because it's what they're told. Does that they allow for no leeway either way?
It's like we're in the new dark ages.
But it is. It's the dumbing down of society. And the more you dumb people down, the more these people have power. And, you know,
the more you dumb people down, they're in less control. That allows a situation to occur where someone can gain control because nobody's paying attention. People are believing total nonsense. And then the real evildoers, whoever they might be, can just come in and do their thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this is a scary part. You know, people say, oh, well, there's no way the government could ever take control and do this. But if everybody is, you know, I mean this disrespectfully, a fat diabetic watching reality TV and believing the earth was created 6,000 years ago, the government doesn't need to take control, because the whole issue of standing up for yourself, protesting, and, you know, making a statement when the government does something you don't agree with is gone. If people don't even have the energy to walk to the end of the street.
And the problem also is so many people get involved in wedge issues. You know, things that have nothing to do, like we say, the biggest problem we have in society today, the state of the economy around the world. People can't get jobs. They can't support themselves. So we worry about gay marriage. We worry about gays in the military. We worry about Social Security. We worry
about Lindsay Lohan.
Sure, Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears. Who cares about these girls? What is so important about them? They're not great performers. Paris Hilton's a great actress. Lindsay Lohan, I guess, she was able to act at one time. But
Paris
who cares?
Like one good film, you know.
Sure, one good film, okay. But who cares about these people? Why do we waste our time worrying about whether Mel Gibson yells at his girlfriend? Because he'd be millions of people who yell at their spouse or significant other. What's the big deal? Why do we worry about
wedge issues? We have the Paracast. It is a beacon of elucidated open-mindedness.
Wow.
Can I quote you?
No. No, I actually agree with everything you've said. You know, you're quite right. I think the scary thing is that, you know, it's like that the old adage, what is it, that bad things happen because good people do nothing to stop it. Well, you know, if a society is becoming more, you know, the big difference I see, like when I go back home to England, is that 7 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night, you see everybody's got the blinds up, hanging out with the neighbours. Kids, 7-year-old kids are riding the bikes around town at 8 o'clock. You don't see any, you know, I'm looking out my window right now. Everybody's blinds are down. You see no one. If you see your neighbour, they look the other way. You know, it's just bizarre. It's like the society's becoming an enclosed society. And when that happens and people aren't getting uptight about things that are going on and demonstrating and complaining, the government doesn't have to do much to control people through fear because nobody's doing anything to stop it. You know, they're more concerned not about weapons of mass destruction, they're more concerned about who's going to get voted off the latest dancing show. And when that happens, they've won. You know, they
when I was a won. Kid, you know, back in the old days, before everybody was born on the show, when I was a kid, I used to be able to go to my friend's house, and when I knock on the door was probably open. And it wasn't a situation where you had 19 different locks, deadbolt locks, and burglar alarms. You didn't need that. You didn't need to have all that protection because people behave themselves. Now, you know, where I live now, I have a burglar alarm. I set the alarm before we leave the place. We have the multiple locks. We have everything. We have to be paranoid because it's a dangerous world out there. We've been taught to fear.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Fear is the greatest control factor of all. You know, there's no doubt about that. When you tell people that government tells them, unless you do what we say, you're going to be nuked by some enemy, they'll go along with it. You know, there's absolutely no doubt about that. It's like today, you go to an airport in the US, everybody unconsciously, without thinking about it, takes their shoes off because of one person who tried to blow up a plane with a shoe bomb.
Well, you know, if we had someone else who put a bomb in his crotch, what's going to happen next? It's going to get pretty crazy.
You know, full body scans.
Oh, boy, we don't want to get into full body scans. We want to get into the book that Nick Redfern wrote called Final Events and the Secret Government Group on Demonic UFOs and the Afterlife. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien.
We just know that lots of you are going to be commenting about this week's show on our forums. Check forum.paracast.com. That's forum.paracast.com.
I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ho, ho.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey, neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LightBreeze wind generator kit start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Attention gun owners. You're into guns and many people you know are into guns. Well, someone needs to maintain, clean, and repair those guns, and it could be you. Now get a free How-To Gunsmith DVD sampler from AGI, the American Gunsmithing Institute. Learn the art of professional gunsmithing as a part or full-time career. Develop a lucrative business by learning the art of gunsmithing through over 71 exclusive DVD training courses. Get started today by ordering our free DVD sampler video and catalog at AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. See how to quickly learn firearm disassembly, reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. To order your free DVD sampler and catalog, call 800-367-9792 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Ask about a bonus $10 savings coupon when you call 800-367-9792 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Philip Rodno. You're listening to Paracast, one of the most informative shows out there. So listen closely.
We have one more session to spend with Nick Redfern. The book is Final Events. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Before we broke for our station break, Nick, you were about to say something, and I didn't want to interrupt you, but here's your time.
Yeah, no, I was just saying more than anything else that, you know, when we talk about this issue of people, although it's not directly related to Final Events, you know, everybody goes to the airport, unconsciously takes their shoes off. This is one event that has, I guess, altered the entire mindset of the entire population where you don't have to order people to take their shoes off. They just do it. In other words, a perceived threat or a real threat and the fear of what could happen provokes everybody to unconsciously take their shoes off at an airport. So in other words, something on a larger scale could easily influence everybody because that event influences everybody who now gets on a plane in the United States.
Complicit in that, though, of course, is the news media because they basically blast this to the skies 24/7. And I'm not going to blame the left-wing media or the right-wing media or the middle-of-the-road media. They all do it. They're all looking for headlines. They're all looking for circulation, ratings, whatever. And any of these singular events starts a whole avalanche of coverage. So, for example, we're used to the full body scans now. What's going to happen next? Well, we have the Patriot Act in the USA, which allows them to tap our phones and to do this, that, and the other thing. We're about ready to allow the President of the United States to turn off the Internet because of a perceived threat.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the thing. All of this will go ahead unless people stand up and say, this isn't going to happen. But it requires people to do that. You know, it's like today, on the one hand, if you look at the demonstrations that have gone on in the past in the United States, civil rights and things like that, you just don't get on this scale anymore because everybody's too busy watching the latest reality show, or they're just too unhealthy to actually make the walk, literally. And I'm not just saying that literally unhealthy to do it. And so what happens is that those people who could provoke the change are unable to do so. And
you also have people who have demonstrations or stage events where all they're doing is selling tickets or selling themselves. We had somebody, for example, we know who that guy is, a former radio shock jock, very popular on TV, brings nearly 100,000 people to the Capitol. To do what? To proclaim himself as the messenger of God.
Well, the other thing, of course, which is actually, even I have to say, has worked tragically very well, is that there's almost this belief system now in the US that if you complain about what the government's doing, you're somehow unpatriotic. You know, you see this everywhere. You know, somebody complains about, you know, the war in Iraq. What are you? You know, are you a terrorist? Well, no, I just don't, you know, somebody might say, well, no, I'm not a terrorist. I just don't believe in the war in Iraq. You know, when people were complaining and demonstrating against the Vietnam War, people understood that they had a different point of view. But today, there's this sort of, again, like a meme has spread throughout society. If you're against what, particularly in the Bush administration, if you're against what they're doing, there's something sinister about you. You know, what's wrong with you? Are you for the enemy or something? And no, you're not. You just realize that there are things going on that shouldn't be going on. And I think this is almost like ingeniously and tragically worked very well. The idea that if you dare stand up and protest, you should be investigated by the Department of Homeland Security. There seems to be this almost unconscious acceptance now. If you demonstrate against the government, you're right for investigation by the Department of Homeland Security because you're saying something that isn't necessarily in keeping with what the government wishes to instill. And, you know, to me, that's wrong. Governments allegedly are still elected, and if we don't like what they're doing, we should have a right to say so, and we shouldn't be viewed as sinister people. I mean, we only have to look just recently when, you know, in one particular state, I won't get into old names and places, but where people who were in animal rights groups and things like this, or just, you know, animal welfare groups were basically being looked at by the Department of Homeland Security. You know, it's gone to extremist levels because, you know, en masse, people aren't trying to stop it. Because
it's a brave new world, Nick.
They're hiding behind the curtains.
It's a brave new world.
Or 1984 has come 26 years late.
Well, I'd actually say it's a grave new world, not a brave new world.
Grave new world. Hey, it sounds like the title for your fifth book this year.
Well, as a matter of fact, right now he's writing the outline. He's going to submit it to his various publishers.
Actually,
and that's going
to
happen.
Funny to say that, because I've just been looking while we've been talking at some of the forums, and somebody said words to the effect that they didn't feel I'd done a good job of researching this fully because I put out so many books at once, and so how can Nick Redfern, you know, accurately do an in-depth investigation when he's writing all these at once? What a lot of people and the person who wrote that may not realize is the fact that, you know,
you've been working on it for 8 years.
Well, yeah, I mean, this book was 5 years in the writing. But the reason it's just coincidence that it's come out, because this one was published by Anomalous Book. My previous book, Contactees, was published by New Page Books last December. And I had a book called Masters of Texas published in June by an English company called CFC Press. In other words, these books weren't all written at the same time with me, you know, burning the midnight oil, trying to crank out three books. It was three different publishers, having had the books for quite a while, coincidentally putting them out all at the same time. So, you know, it's not a case of me racing through the research. The publication date is not dictated by me. You know, Final Events, I began writing 5 years ago and the research 5 years ago, and it's just been published. But the Monsters of Texas book, the writing on that was finished ages ago, but it's just coincidence that the two different publishers put them out at the same time. So it looks like I've cranked them both out together, which actually isn't the case.
It also might be, I assume, if you're like me, when I was doing a lot of books, I'd be doing different projects at the same time. I'd work when I needed to on one particular project. I'd set it aside. Yeah. I get to something else when I got more information. Now, in my case, when I was writing computer books, it's an assembly line situation. It's not where you sit down, you research something, and if you get it out a year later, that's okay. Maybe you don't get paid until a year later, but that's it. With a computer book, it has to be out in 6 weeks or you don't get paid at all.
No, that's right. Mm-hmm.
We only have a moment or two left here. So in the last minute or so that we can spend with you, Nick Redfern, what should we take away from the book Final Events?
Well, I think we should take several things. One being that it the book and the group, the Collins Elite, demonstrate that belief is a powerful thing. It demonstrates that belief in the right hands or the wrong hands can have an extreme influence on people, potentially on all society, depending on how it's coordinated, etc. I think it also tells us a great deal about the true nature of the UFO phenomenon, in the sense that because it is so elusive and seems to have no real interest in communing with us on a one-to-one open basis, it provokes different belief systems because you're trying to grasp what's going on because the phenomenon isn't telling us. I think those are all important factors. And I think also it demonstrates that even within governments, people can become obsessed within a particular scenario, which then oversteps the mark where they may wish to instill that belief system in other people. And, regardless of whether it's this or any other subject, being overly convinced you're right about something when the phenomenon is overwhelmingly mysterious, and then trying to force feed that on other people, is something we should be wary of. And I hope people will read the book and find it interesting, and find it interesting that the government would fund something like this, but equally they would realize that we should be open-minded, and I think it's a pitfall that we can learn from.
Nick, where do we find more of the things that you write about?
Well, the best place, actually, people interested in the book, I've got a booth for the book. It's called, the link is http://eventsfinal.blogspot.com.
Eventsfinal.blogspot.com. Okay, Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of your stuff?
Well, I'll be at my usual location, OurStrangePlanet.com. It is a strange planet. It's Our Strange Planet. And I want to, salute our guest today and co-host, Nick Redfern. You are truly an inspiration to open-minded individuals who are looking outside of the box. And I really thank you for writing this book and being here today.
Nick Redfern, Chris O'Brien, thank you both for being out of the box this week on the PowerCast.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thank you again, gentlemen. Next week, our co-host will be Christopher O'Brien, and we've got an exciting set of topics for you to listen to on the PowerCast.
The PowerCast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.